Our reading will be from Philippians 1, verses 21 through 30.
Good morning. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Jesus Christ will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had. And now I hear that I still have the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Our message today is to be or not to be. Our reading from Philippians sets the stage for us with the Apostle Paul in a Roman prison. He is immersed in a world of suffering and oppression. It's hot, it's dark. It's filthy beyond our imagination. The air has the stench of body odor and human waste. For some, the day is a living death, lying in a virtual grave, deprived of any stimulus. For others, theirs is a living hell, full of bouts of torture, in periods of anticipation of the next torture. These conditions were meant to instill a sense of hopelessness and doom. It was meant to break a person. Sitting here, Paul has no idea if he will make it out alive. Verse 21, for me to live is. This is the question which Hamlet was searching for, to be or not to be. We're living in a time when secular success has overrun our quest for meanings. The best part is we have more than ever, we know more than ever, but the downside is we're also confused more than ever. There's no escaping the question. Not only is it inescapable, it calls for a reason and an answer. Paul had his. For me to live is Christ. It may not be easy for a secular mind of modern man to understand the mysticism Paul is expressing. His absolute devotion to a supreme being gave him a reason to live. Verse 22 starts off, "If I am going on living." Paul has a problem. His mind is divided. What was the best use of his life? He was willing to accept his death for his faith, knowing it would advance the gospel. He also knows his imprisonment may serve to make other believers more confident in the Lord and bolder to share the words of God without fear. But death would be a release from prison. And Paul was old. He has suffered a very long time. He was ready. "I am torn between the two." Paul isn't longing for death, as some suppose. He is placing himself at God's disposal and the needs of the people, regardless of the outcome. "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." How to use one's life, short of a decision of life and death, doesn't always confront us. We don't know what God has prepared for us. "So that through my being..." Now, the Philippians had made no secret of their pride in Paul. They regarded him, in a sense, as their very own apostle. They probably let him know that. They had sent him messages over and over again. "Whatever happens, whether I come and see you, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel." Paul wanted them to behave as citizens. And in their time, a man's duty was to the family, the tribe, and the city that he belonged to. This was especially true in Philippi, where civic consciousness was highly developed. Paul wanted the Philippians to do their part in a manner that did honor to the gospel. "Whether I come and see you..." Paul knows what he hopes to hear, but he also knows it may be doubtful he ever will see them. Still, he makes an effort to remain cheerful. If we would read ahead to chapter 3, verse 20, Paul makes it clear he views the believer's citizenship is in heaven. He goes on to say, "without being frightened in any way." The Philippians are never to turn aside, even for a moment, from Christ. The antagonist will try to distract them by force or treachery, but they must fix their eyes on Christ. Sounds as if Paul was speaking to us today. We have those who tell us there is no God. He's a myth. Science has proven there is no God. Your God's a bigot. Your God's a hater. I could go on. But remember, God speaks only to his own. This is a sign to them of their own destruction, but of your salvation. By standing firm, you would show to all that yours was the winning side. And in proportion to your confidence, your enemies will lose heart. Paul finishes the verse with 29 and 30, and he tells us, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ." It is a privilege. You should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Paul is telling the Philippians to gain knowledge of Christ, be strong in their faith, but be prepared to suffer for his sake if called upon. Paul not only believes this, he himself has lived it. Many of his letters open by telling us how many times he's been in prison, how many times he has been beaten with rods, been stoned, been shipwrecked. Here in Philippians, he is encouraging them and us to be prepared to do likewise. Although they didn't appear to be persecuted, they did face opposition. And we, because of our faith, as has happened throughout history, also suffer opposition. But the opposition they endured was from Rome, because Rome did not trust the apostles, and they had suspicions that they were trying to undermine the government. In many parts of the world, fellow Christians today face both opposition and persecution. Their governments tell them they cannot gather. They cannot teach anything to others about our Lord. They can't own a Bible, and they certainly can't distribute them. They can't even show Christian symbols or crosses. There are laws that are forced upon them with penalties that range from fines to imprisonment and to execution. To be sure, some of the worst persecution comes from other religions whose members will burn churches or their homes, beat and rape believers, or murder them. Some may be forced to convert to the approved religion. Some may be sold into slavery. So far, here in the United States, we have it fairly easy. On occasions, various persecutions occur, but general opposition is isolated. Our main opposition comes from today's culture. Workers have to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sports activities and entertainment are scheduled during what was traditional worship hours. Even children's programs on TV and in the movies can cause some of us to blush. There are many hidden innuendos, both in the dialogue and in the scenes. And almost all adult entertainment uses language for shock value or nudity to tantalize the senses. In today's culture, everything and anything goes. If it feels good, go for it. Sometimes I wonder, because we haven't listened, is God turning us over to ourselves? And that, my friends, is the message for today.